You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I now have a craving for this wonderful, totally real, not at all artificial synthetic juice product that I don't know that I've had in a decade. And I just kind of want to pound a little Sunny D.
Why you
and don't make that a liner.
Too late.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And I just kind of want to pound little Sunny D.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Part two of Almost Entirely Sports, getting ready for the AFC Championship game here on this Thursday. I don't know why I told you it was hour two. I don't know why I told you it was Thursday. It's 45 degrees outside here at 9:02 p.m. in Kansas City.
Oh, you said that, and I thought, wait, is it not the second hour on Thursday? What day is it?
No, I mean,
I was got confused for
you
a second.
You spagged
like,
right
what
then?
What the heck has happened?
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, it is 9 o'clock on a Thursday, but, like, that's totally useless. Absolutely, just, like, again, I might as well give you. And now we go to Rudy Salazar with traffic and our Sports Radio 810 traffic copter. Rudy, go ahead.
There's a lot of traffic. Cars are everywhere.
Oh, God.
Like a pile up.
No. Oh, the carnage. Here's a piece of trivia for you really quick.
Yeah.
Do you remember, because I've got the game on NFL Network in here, It is the Chiefs-Patriots AFC Championship game, and they scored after this anyway because of the Brady pick, and then, or no, did they? I don't remember.
Yeah, Brady ended up throwing a pick.
Brady pick, which was Dan Sorensen,
and then the
Chiefs went on, and...
His name really is involved in a lot of big plays.
It's freaking everywhere, dude. So the Chiefs scored two plays later after the Brady pick anyway.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you about this player after we do this trivia thing.
Okay, do you remember there was a Julian Edelman botched...
Grazed off the finger
grazed,
thing, yeah.
The grazed... This touchdown with Damian Williams was sick, actually. It was a two-yard pass, and the blocking was perfect.
Is that when the Chiefs scored too early? When everybody got mad.
No, they're still, I mean,
it's still seven and a half minutes
left. Okay. I forgot. There were 38 points scored in the fourth quarter of this game by both teams combined. The Julian Edelman nearly tipped punt. Do you remember the player for the Chiefs that scooped up that touchdown and ran it back, ultimately ruled not a fumble?
So I'm guessing, just based off what you're saying, it's a player who is obviously like not on the Chiefs currently.
I asked you this during the curtain. What was your first guess?
Sorensen, absolutely.
Not Dan Sorensen. Yeah. He had the pick following.
So knowing that it wasn't Sorensen, because I assume every big play in the history of the Chiefs have ever made is by Daniel Sorensen, dating back to 1960, whenever the franchise first had their first game.
Right, absolutely.
As it should be.
Please submit your guesses also on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, etc. Leave your best guess.
I'm going to go with... I'm down to two guys.
Okay. Tell me the two guys. I will not react.
Okay. Jordan Lucas, Steven Nelson.
Garrick Dieter.
Oh, my goodness.
We almost had a Garrick Dieter AFC Championship game touchdown.
Goodness. I forgot about
Garrick
him.
Dieter.
The Chiefs, Julian Edelman. Or Cole Beasley, as they say now.
Someone on Facebook, who again, I'm sorry, I can't see your name. Our Facebook chat is not working as well as the rest of them. Ask how the hell do you find you on Twitch? Great question, empty username. If you want to watch the show, you can do it in a variety of places now. You can watch us on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page, facebook.com/sportsradio810. The Sports Radio 810 YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/810WHB. And the Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/sportsradio810. Theoretically, you could probably Google any of those with Sports Radio 810 and find it there. But the Twitch URL, super easy, twitch.tv/sportsradio810.
And then you can follow us and you'll get notifications every time we go live.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I never thought about that. But yeah, I've really enjoyed Twitch. Twitch is obviously, I mean, it's made for this, basically.
Yeah.
And it's been wonderful. So there's that.
Brent on Twitch did guest Dieter before.
Congratulations,
Brent. So Brent New.
What's his name?
Brent New.
His name is Brent New?
Yeah.
You just said it three times. It sounded like a boat sputtering.
I get it.
Here's a couple things. Did you need to go change a channel, Rudy? You told me you have a... Okay, you knocked that out. I'm gonna talk about a couple other things here real quick. Again, the update of the day on Patrick Mahomes. Someone mentioned this in one of the chats earlier that I thought it was a pretty good way of them saying it, actually. Yesterday, Mahomes was a full participant in a limited practice. And today, Mahomes is a limited participant on full snaps. It sounds like he took almost every one of the starter snaps, and that's certainly very good news. There is no hitting in practice today, where you're not going to find a lot of that around the NFL at this point. Honestly, it's late in the season and dudes are tired of being hit, but had the helmet on and I think did everything they asked him to do. Eric Bieniemy said he looked good. Andy Reid said it was all working pretty well. So I think we're well on our way to seeing Patrick Mahomes quarterback the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game against the Bills coming up on this Sunday. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 810. The AFC Championship game and NFC Championship game back-to-back on these airwaves. I'll be back on the air Sunday morning at 9. I'll be here to do a little pregame show, and then we'll all watch or listen to the NFC Championship game back here for Chiefs. And then, which again, you can hear the NFC Championship game here as well. Then the Chiefs game will be here, and then as soon as it's over, the Sports Radio 810 WHB post-game show, hosted by me, presented by CBD American Shaman, will start right after the game does. We'll hear from all the pressers, all the audio. We'll bring it all to you live right here on Sports Radio 810. The Chiefs did have their media availability today, and eventually we are going to talk about Dan Campbell at length, the new Lions head coach. If you don't know what the deal is with him, hold on, and we'll get to him, and it's gonna really be excellent. But the Chiefs had their coordinators all talk today. Reid also spoke today. A few players talked, but I want to start with Eric Bieniemy while we're here. In fact, Reid, I'll tell you. Let's start with how Patrick Mahomes looked today, because this is the sort of little soundbite piece from Eric Bieniemy that has made its rounds, and he also talked about wanting to be a head coach and all that stuff. And that story, we'll talk more about that after the season ends,
the
whenever that
may
is.
May surprise you.
It's that he wants to be a head coach.
Okay, ruin it, I guess.
See how I felt with your Todd Haley?
We're even now.
We're even. But Bieniemy did talk about how Mahomes looked at practice today. He almost avoided answering the question, and then he accidentally gave us the best quote of the day.
You know what? Obviously, I'll let Coach deal with all that, but he looks like Pat to me. So he's been great in meetings. You know, he's fun. He's energetic. So you can always count on Pat being Pat.
He almost avoided it, but looks good to me. Pat looks good to me. So, I mean, at this point, I just think we would know more if it looked worse, basically. If he took no snaps yesterday, if he took really limited snaps today, I'd be worried. He took all the snaps yesterday, and I am led to believe that he took almost every snap today.
I say Reid said he took most of the starter snaps.
Correct.
Today.
And beyond that, the question was if he took all of the starter snaps, and then Reid said, yeah. And then he said he took most of them, and then he said, like, yeah, again. Again, Nate Taylor's sort of conspiracy theory is that that Rick Burkholder reminded Andy Reid that Chad Henne needed to take, like,
at least one
snap.
That's what I was thinking. Henne took one snap,
yeah.
Which means most snaps is
technically
true. Correct.
Absolutely. Not a violation of any protocols or anything, but it genuinely seems like Mahomes is good.
And he was limited to all but one
snap. The thing, and we're not going to spend the next hour on this because I'm kind of tired of talking about this, but all the questions we've had about, like, is he actually concussed? How are they going to manage this? What's the risk management that you're going to do? If Mahomes was in fuzzy brain, glassy eyes territory this week, he would just be in a sensory deprivation chamber for 5 days to try to then see how close you can get. It seems right now that he's checking boxes and moving on pretty well. So for the second time in his young career, it seems like he had a very scary-looking injury that is not going to be as bad as it once looked. So that's certainly good news. One other thing that I thought was interesting from Eric Bieniemy, he was asked a question that we've kind of kicked around for a while. But, hey, are the Chiefs holding on to plays to save for prime time, for the big games? Is there some extra special sauce getting sprinkled over these plays as the AFC Championship game comes around?
You know what, Miss Karen? I'm not going to even give that away because we have so many tons of plays. You just roll out that Rolodex, just choose a few, pull them out from the Joe files. But I'll say this. At this particular time of the year, you just want your guys to make sure that they play assignment sound football. Will we have a wrinkle or two? Probably so. But when it's all said and done with, we just want to make sure we're putting our guys in the best situation to go out there and play as hard and as fast as they can. And then when it's all said and done with, we can end up celebrating and going to pursue our goal in Tampa.
The Joe files, I'm 98% sure, is referring to Joe Blamire, who Andy Reid credits all the time, passing game analyst and assistant quarterbacks coach is his actual
future
title.
Offensive coordinator. You can just throw that in as a title.
That dude,
the Chiefs. Yeah.
His name's been mentioned in too many press conferences for him not to get a nice raise and a new promotion this offseason.
There's always, I can't say this is necessarily how it's been for Andy Reid's entire, coaching career on offense, because, I didn't follow the coaching tree path while he was in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. as really all of us have followed in Kansas City. There has always been the clear next successor, the next in line, and then typically always, at least one guy, if not a couple guys, where you're like,
yeah.
These are also guys. Like there is this path, which, not to get too far, off topic, but when we talk about eventually, the Chiefs having to replace, eventually they'll replace Eric Bieniemy. Eventually they'll have to replace Mike Kafka.
Yep.
And there's just always some really good guys that are just
there's always
right
a guy
there to step in and take those spots.
Brett Veach was essentially assistant to the regional manager, for Andy
yes.
Reid at one point. Blamire was a receiver at Delaware, by the way.
Which is where Matt Nagy was a quarterback, I believe.
Is that true? That
yeah,
might be right.
I think Matt Nagy was at Delaware.
I think that's
was
right.
Was Brett Veach also at Delaware? Because didn't Brett Veach and Matt Nagy go to college together? Wasn't that their thing? I gotta look this up.
There's
you,
enough
you
of
talk.
Those lines that do not, I cannot yet. So yeah, Nagy was at Delaware from 97 to 2000. Blamire was there 2002 to 2005, so that would be theoretically coincidental, unless they have some other shared connections from there. But
Brett Veach, college, Delaware.
What years?
He was there from 1998 to 2001. He played running back, wide receiver, and return specialist, so those are guys who...
He and Nagy would have overlapped,
yeah,
but he and Blamire wouldn't have, just
yeah,
by the years they were there.
Him and Nagy, because I remember that was the thing, Nagy obviously threw passes to him.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
But that's probably where the connection, how they, I imagine they, that's how they met, being Delaware people.
But that's the Joe files, I imagine, are coming from Joe Blamire.
Man, look at Delaware just producing football geniuses.
Seriously.
Joe Flacco, Matt Nagy. Elite guys there.
Future Chiefs offensive coordinator, Joe Flacco.
I hope that happens.
I do too.
At least assistant to the quarterback coach.
You know what I just thought about, and I don't actually want Joe Flacco to coach Patrick Mahomes. I just decided.
Well,
that.
To be fair, any future, I think you could get Adam Gase as Mahomes' coach. I'm using air quotes because
yeah.
Nobody's really coaching Mahomes anymore. Let's be honest, Mahomes is just doing his thing. Mahomes is just like, shut up, Adam, you dork.
What do you think would happen if Patrick Mahomes told Eric Bieniemy to shut up and shove
well,
it?
Well, he respects Eric Bieniemy. He would never do that.
Eric Bieniemy would squish him into a paper ball and throw him into a garbage can. And he's smaller than Patrick Mahomes is, by the way.
Absolutely.
And I still believe he would do that.
But anybody on the Chiefs team, and Gary Dieter included, if Adam Gase was on this roster, they'd be stuffing him in a locker, you dork.
Yeah, all right.
Andy Reid would probably be right there with him.
At the very least, Andy Reid walks into Adam Gase getting shoved into a locker by the entire offense.
And just everybody and freezes just, and stops and just looks at him.
No, and then he just pulls a Yui.
That's what I'm saying. So I think Everybody just stops. Like Adam Gase is half of his body's in. Mahomes has got his hand on his head, just push him in, and then it's just a stop motion. Andy Reid just turns around, walks away, and then you just shove him back in and you call him dork.
Yeah, that's probably right. The one thing I thought was interesting from that Bieniemy audio that we played 97 minutes ago is that, will there be new wrinkles? Probably. Yeah, yes, there absolutely will be new wrinkles. The new wrinkles part of it, I think, is just worth noting because that's something that I talked about last week, and I'm not an offensive genius. I'm just paying attention. There's always new stuff, and there's always stuff that is built off of old stuff. And it's just two things the Chiefs do all the time. The first time they ran Ferrari right, that was a new thing. Mahomes in motion, that's nuts. Well, then, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks later, they did it again, and the play was different, but it was with that motion. They set up things in Act 1 that pay off in Act 3 all the time. That's just a part of what they do. And then there's also, especially in games like this, new stuff. You got the Super Bowl last year, you got Rose Bowl right. We had not seen that. Football had not seen that in 60 years or whatever. But then you'll see the stuff that they did in week 4 that you thought was a one-off, and then you'll realize actually not only was that not a one-off, that was something to make them think twice, and then you do something different with that same look 12, 13 weeks later. That's what they do. But also, I do think that it's true. I think there's something about the foot on the gas stuff that I'm still not totally sure I have an answer for, because that feels real to me, and I haven't had a reason to be kind of nudged off of that completely yet, where these games do end up being closer. They're not really playing for blowouts. They're playing for wins, which is not, like, heinous, but is something that I note. But I do think that it's unreasonable to say, like, hey, are you saving the good plays? Do you have your break glass in case of emergency 3 best trick plays? And I mean, they're gonna have those plays for like every situation, basically. And so I don't think that they're using their second best play, you know, in a tight game whenever they think their best play is discernibly better there. Like, let's say this. The 4th-and-1 play against the Browns. The Chiefs ran something really similar to beat the Dolphins a month prior. In fact, Tucker wrote about that. We might talk to him about that whenever he gets here. But the Chiefs basically ran a very similar play 30-some days later that worked against the Dolphins. But also, after the game, I can't remember if it was Henny or Andy Reid that said this, but one of the two of them, I think it was Henny. So they really like that play there because they know the Browns like to run man coverage in high leverage situations, and that play is absolutely unguardable in man. It might be unguardable, period. It's just an unguardable 1-yard play. Well, they used that to beat the Dolphins, and then they used it again here, but situationally, the reason they used it again here is because they knew some stuff about the Browns that was going to make that play more likely to succeed. That's not them, you know, saving the good plays. It's them picking the stuff that works best in those situations, and that was obviously a very high leverage situation as well. I just think that all makes sense. So, I think there's a little bit of a give and take there, but, you know, the new wrinkle stuff, that's very real, and then using the plays that work in that situation, something that I think we're still even just trying to piece together all of the parts of that.
I would also say some of that, too, I imagine, comes down to, like, they have plays that are literally designed to only really work, not necessarily work against the Bills, but to use for the Bills, like evolutions right. of plays that they called in the Bills game where it's, sure. we're showing you this same formation, we're doing a lot of the same things here, but now all of a sudden here's the wrinkle where, like, I imagine when that game was over with, Andy Reid had plays, like plays that he probably thought of in the game that were like, if we face these guys in the playoffs, like here's 5 plays that this is the only game we will use them in.
Because we'll basically drop a remix on this play that we would use again in January if we need to. Yep, I think that's true. I'm going to save Spags for the other side of the break. We'll take a break earlier than we did last hour, Rudy. I'm telling you that because whenever we do a segment until the 38-minute mark after the hour, you start getting nervous. And I understand.
It's because I also didn't realize we were at the 38 mark last time, I'll be honest.
We're having a good time. It's been a long day, too. We're just having a good time. But I do want to hear from Dave Tobe here. This is an answer that it comes in 2 parts. You'll hear Sam Mellinger kind of follow up in here. But Tobe was asked about the misses that, well, I forgot also, Mahomes went down in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, and it was like,
oh yeah,
hobbling with
like
his hip and stuff. Totally forgot about that. He's had some injured luck, I think. Maybe it's been bad luck that seems okay because it hasn't been a huge deal, but it seems more likely that he's had good luck on plays that could have ended up a lot worse anyway.
Which is certainly part of just like football. Like sometimes you just need injury luck, right? Like
absolutely.
The amount of times guys get hit and just like bounce right back up, you know?
Brady has played for 97 years, and he had one really bad one.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, he's been...
But that's not luck. Excellent. That's drinking 56 glasses of water a day.
Right.
And your avocado ice cream.
Right, and never eating strawberries.
Devil's fruit.
And then also your doctor is a doctor who's not a doctor. Who the Patriots have banned from your facilities. And instead of eating strawberries, you're eating human growth hormones. What? Who said that? Who said that?
Hey. Tucker, where are you at?
Tucker, did you say that? Who said that? Let's hear from Dave Tobe. He was asked about the misses that Butker had on Sunday. There was the missed extra point and the missed field goal, short field goal at that. Tobe was asked what went wrong there. And as you get more information over the course of this longer answer, it led me to a takeaway that I think is really, really worth your time.
It was just an operational glitch that we had, with the rotation of the ball. The laces came down in a weird spot. Not one time all year did that happen, or in practice for that matter. And it happened twice. And both of those kicks, we rotated a different way. It's just an operational glitch that we cleaned it up. And he had a great week of practice, and he was on point this week, so we're good.
Operational glitch is a great term, by the way. I'm going to use that a lot. But do I understand you right? Like the hold that spun the ball the wrong way, or what?
Okay,
what
exactly? Winchester is so good as a snapper. He can count the rotations with a snap, where the laces never appear for him. For the hold. But in this case, the laces appeared. Now, there was a combination with the weather and a little bit short, whatever we did there. We figured it out this week. But the laces showed up to where they were facing Butker. And then Tommy has to deal with, getting them out of the way, which it's a matter of which way we're going to rotate the ball. So, he rotated, where Butker could see the laces for a longer period of time. That's not what we want to do. So we want to rotate it the opposite way so it goes away. I didn't want to get real technical with it, but I guess you forced me to it. But that's really what it is. That's why I just said it's an operational thing that we got it ironed out and fixed.
Here's why I think that clip was so interesting. First of all, Mellinger got a coach to go into real detail on something that we never really get that much detail on. So that's just a good answer. That kind of stuff I enjoy because I don't really know that much about kicking or care that much about the intricacies of kicking, if I'm being terribly honest. Like, it just doesn't, that's not something that, like, naturally interests me or whatever. But to get a closer microscope on exactly how detailed that process is, the fact that James Winchester can snap the ball knowing how many times it is going to rotate back to the hands of the holder is crazy. That seems impossible. I imagine that every NFL long snapper can do that. It seems impossible. But that's something that he does every time. And then, according to Tobe there, twice in that game, the snap got back to Townsend with an extra, whatever, quarter rotation, half rotation, three quarters rotation, whatever. Or didn't rotate as much as he needed it to, I don't know. But it got back there in the way that's not how it goes in practice, in the way that it's not how it goes in games this year. Well, then the ball goes down. And then Townsend needed to, he tried to spin the ball one way. He should have tried to spin it the other way. There's your wrong direction on that rotation. And then Butker kicks it and it goes wide. Hits the upright, whichever, depending on which one you're looking at, whatever. Misses it though. There are three people in that little triumvirate. And I think at least on those particular kicks, Tobe would probably tell you, I think he basically told us there, that Butker was the one guy that didn't mess up on some level, some infinitesimally small level, but on some level. But whenever he misses that kick, Chiefs Facebook is posting about trading Harrison Butker this offseason. And it's like, well, this is some. I don't expect everyone to inherently think about all those other moving parts. But whenever the special teams coach gives you that information, you should take that and try to remember. I mean, and then I think we've been pretty good on this show about not doing this. The conversation about does Harrison Butker have the yips or something? What's wrong with Harrison Butker? there have probably been times where missed kicks have been his fault. He also talked today, and I didn't grab one of his clips because I thought Tobe's explanation was the most interesting one. But Butker said, you know, on those kicks, yeah, I still could have kicked it better, different, whatever. Everyone's taken some portion of responsibility there, and that's great. But whenever you see on those, you go, oh man, he missed an extra point again. He's missing short field goals again. Is Harrison Butker broken? The special teams coach, with no reason to lie about this one, is telling you, nah, our long snapper made an incredibly rare mistake, and then Townsend spun the ball the wrong way where he could have covered up Winchester's extremely rare mistake, but he actually either didn't or made it worse or whatever. And it's just, even if it doesn't really change much for most people in terms of how they talk about Harrison Butker, I hope that that explanation gets some portion of your football mind and sticks there, because it's such a good example of how often we blame the last person that we see. Or, I mean, even we saw this quicker in real time, but that Chad Henne incompletion to Travis Kelce, that ball is thrown and lands incomplete, and you think, ah, dang it, Chad Henne. When in reality, Travis Kelce ran the wrong route, did not get the full play. Honestly, there's a chance that Chad Henne actually never said the full play. You know what I'm saying? There's a chance that something went wrong in the huddle, but Kelce took it upon himself. And Henne said after the game that Kelce did make a mistake of some sort there, so that seems universally agreed upon. But I think we would be better off trying to get the specifics and trying to be a little bit less results oriented in where our credit and blame end up, because it's very rarely that simple, especially in the NFL. So thought that was worthwhile. And also specifically to the Chiefs special teams, I don't think that Butker has the yips at this point. And again, earlier in the year, there was more. Tobe did talk more about, like, yeah, Butker's trying to figure some things out. The whole trio is trying to work some stuff out. But on this one, a lot of people got very nervous whenever he missed two kicks. And then we've got Tobe's explanation there that basically, again, everyone except for Butker made a mistake. And then Butker wasn't able to fix it himself. So something I think is worth keeping in mind as we have these conversations for now and to the foreseeable future. Spags talk today, and also we're eventually going to play this Dan Campbell audio. We'll get to that whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Really? I must have blacked out. I do not remember saying that that's how we were going to start the show.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Something else that happened today that's not quite as interesting as what the Lions' new head coach did, but something the Chargers' new head coach said. New Chargers head coach Brandon Staley, a man who I would not recognize if he walked into the studio and sat down across from me wearing a t-shirt that said, I'm Chargers' new head coach, Brandon Staley. But he is the new Chargers head coach. And he said this today. I'm going to quote Daniel Popper, Chargers beat writer for The Athletic here. He tweeted, quote, "The thing about analytics is they drive better decision-making," unquote. Says he wants to be at the, quote, forefront of that movement, unquote. Adds that, quote, context and feel, unquote, are crucial when applying data to decisions. The context and feel, quote, unquote, thing makes me a little bit nervous, because part of the thing with analytics is that they don't have feel, you know? That's part of the advantage to them. Like, there's some truth to that inherently, I think, where, you know, I'm trying to think of a situation. Maybe this isn't true. You know, if there's a situation in which you could go for it on 4th and inches, but there's 2 seconds left in the game and you're down by 2 points and you're at the 10-yard line, you could kick the field goal and win right there, you know, instead of trying to win with a touchdown for no reason. The thing is, like, a 4th down model would, or a win percentage-based model would take that into account, so maybe that's not necessarily true.
There's a little bit of an injury type situation, right? Maybe a situation dictates you should go for it, but you're down to your 3rd string quarterback, and it's like, well, Right. Yeah, Nathan Peterman starting playing now. So right. You know, maybe throwing the ball isn't our best idea.
I think it's just probably a sort of a common sense thing in most instances. Mm-hmm. The context and feel, quote unquote, should be the extreme minority of the portion of your conversation about analytics. Whatever. Anyway, Chargers head coach might be out here for some of these analytics. I'm interested to see what that turns into.
Which is good. Like, again, like I do think there's something to just the idea in general of, like, I think, and this is typically because, like, baseball's a sport where we're analytics is common, right? Like football is kind of starting to move in that direction, but baseball has been fully there. And, like, I've kind of always believed to an extent you should never be fully one way or the other, right? If you're fully the eye test or fully the analytics, like, you leave a little bit of, like you can have some faults in there. I think there's a little bit that you're missing. It's, you want to use both, right? You want to use numbers to, if your eyes see something, you want to use the numbers to essentially either back it up, or if your eyes are missing something that the numbers are telling you you're missing, that's where the numbers kind of come into play, right? Like, yeah. It's a little bit of using both. So I think there's something to, like, again, I don't like necessarily like the phrase using your guts, because that just, maybe this just is a, we're so used to older coaches saying that phrase has kind of become a you know, like,
it's
like,
become a bit of a red flag.
Yes, and maybe it shouldn't be as much of a red flag, or necessarily is always a red flag, right? Like, maybe that is a situation where, depending on who is saying it, it's not inherently a bad thing, but it feels like it, because I'm so used to older coaches being like, well, my gut told me I should punt the ball on 4th and inches from the 50-yard line.
Right. The relationship of those things matters. And that, I mean, that's mm-hmm. true. Because, again, the one thing, and this is a bit more kind of, I don't know. This is a personal reading of some things. This might not be perfectly based with ball, so this is a radio show, and sometimes we say our opinions, so this is an opinion thing.
Be careful now.
I know. Let's get political. I'd like to talk about what religions I think make sense and what don't.
And whips.
Anywho, I love Drew Brees, but I think that you are way more likely to find this in the Ethan Douglas tweet, but I can blame it on him. I think you're way more likely to find old school, rough and tumble, my gut coaches that say, I'm all about the eye test and bleep analytics, what are those, than you are to ever find anyone that says, the only thing I care about is numbers and nothing that I see with my eyes matters.
And I assume we're talking about, like, in football, right?
Yeah. Because
I would say, like, in baseball, I think there are a lot of those guys. But again, baseball, sure. Baseball is behind on literally everything but analytics. This is the one thing where they're out ahead of people.
And so I am within football, within the realm of football.
Which I 100% agree with you on.
You'll find people whose expertise is strictly in the analytics of things. But that's okay. It's also fine that you have, you know, guys watching film who aren't—I think the analytics become a tool for all of that. But you have analytics experts that are saying, hey, take this and synthesize it with what you're seeing. Because there's a difference. I think maybe this is the differentiation I would make. There's a difference. It's, by the way, so crazy that Patrick Mahomes in his first year had 30 seconds to get within field goal range to send the AFC Championship game to overtime and did it. And they got within touchdown range also. They just ran out of time. They should have won that game in regulation. The Chiefs should be working on a three-peat right now. I'm so mad about this game.
I mean, they probably should have, like, blown out the Patriots, but the D.C. Yeah, it's not all Bob Dunn's fault, but it's a decent amount.
Yeah, a little bit. I'll say it's a little bit.
D4 deserves a little blame.
Yeah, a little bit. But he, like, made a mistake. Bob Sutton had, like, a bad plan.
That's,
you know what
true.
I mean?
For years.
But I think there's a big differentiation between I am synthesizing what I see on film with analytics, and I'm going to go with my gut. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Taking in the analytics and taking in the film simultaneously or even individually, that is work you're putting in. Sometimes I think feel and gut end up being something that's more like, I don't know, this is what my coach would have done 10 years ago, that kind of thing. So,
and like, I think some of the problem,
the gut thing gets me.
Yeah, I think some of the problem too is that we see with, again, more the go with your gut, you know, generation. It's like typically with analytics, like not in everything, but a lot, like in sometimes in decision making, you get results back. And maybe it's go for fourth down like 50.7% of the time, which means you should go for it, but there's at least close enough to a 50-50 there that it's okay a little bit to use the how do I feel? Do I honestly think we can get this? Yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. The problem is that so
do
frequently
do we have a play that makes sense here?
Yeah,
by the way,
exactly. Yeah,
and that's part of it.
The problem is that so frequently, again, especially with a certain the certain football guy, it's hey, this is a no-brainer. Like you should be doing this like 90%+ of the time. Like yeah. it's don't even consider the other option. And then you're like, well, you know, my gut tells me that the other option's the way to go. Again, there are situations where even analytics can be a little bit more 50-50. And that, I think that's kind of
where it happens all the time.
Yeah. That's where sure. your guts kind of come in. Right. Like that's part of the reason why I think Andy Reid is an elite coach. Cause in those situations, he typically still will make the right decision. The best coaches do, the worst coaches obviously don't.
Right.
The problem is so frequently coaches are just like presented with a situation where it's clear this is what you do, and then they don't do it.
The again, I think the gut thing ends up being a terminology issue that I'm going to get hung up on but you're right. The you know, Ben Baldwin's model, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't know what play you're going to call.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so if your offensive line has been getting battered all day and you think the only play I trust right here is a running play, well, then you probably need to rethink your strategy. The Chiefs had a play against the Browns that they were very confident in to get that yard. And so running it there was Andy Reid said as much, it was an easy choice because you had a play that you knew was going to work, that you felt really good about that play working, and situationally the numbers would say go for it there. Yeah. You got to make sure you have a play that works there, though.
And I don't know like what the number said for that specific play, but let's just say
it was in favor of going for it. But also the model didn't know that they had Chad Henne, you know?
True. And part of my point is, let's even say that number was like, it was in favor, but it was even like a little lower, like say 65%. To Andy Reid,
I think it was in the high 50s.
Yeah, so to Andy Reid, that play, that situation with Tyreek Hill running the route, even with the quarterback like Chad Henne, in Andy Reid's mind, it might have been like, yeah, this is a 95%. Like, this is easy. Like, yep. And some of that's, again, some of that's analytics. Some of that's also a little bit of guts because you know Tyreek Hill can beat whoever's across from him, right?
Right.
And you know Chad Henne, you've seen him enough, you're confident that he can hit a wide open Tyreek Hill a yard down the
on
field
the run,
because
yeah.
he's a competent quarterback.
Right. Yeah. I don't really know. I think I just saw that tweet again and wanted to discuss the fact that the Chargers head coach might be here for it.
Yeah, and it's tough, right? But this is partly why coaches get paid as much money as they do. Because, this is obviously, like, none of this is super easy. Now, there are some situations, again, where it is very easy. This is what you should do, and that's where the real problem comes into it. It's you know, Jeff Fisher, who hasn't coached in forever, but just the first name that pops in my head,
yeah.
who is in a situation, you know, is fourth in, you know, one, down by five,
right.
and decides to kick the field goal from right. the 15-yard line, you know, like.
Right. And if you're gonna also take into all the context into account, like if you're the Chiefs, one of the reasons it gets so frustrating is if you have a 50-50. Percentage, whatever, if it's a toss-up on Ben Baldwin's fourth down bot. I'm taking into account the context here, which is that your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes.
My
your
gut
offense has
me.
Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and all these other dudes, and Andy Reid's calling the plays.
Honestly, this is where my gut would come to play. If it told me if it was honestly like 40% or higher, I should go. So even there's 10% of that
That's
is
right.
in the you should punt category. My gut's going to tell me that Patrick Mahomes can probably get this.
Whoa, do you have the breaking news? Do you have the breaking news sound?
I can.
Do you have the breaking news sound, Rudy? Oh, this is a Woj bomb, Rudy. Rudy, we got a Woj bomb, Rudy.
Oh, no.
The Houston Rockets are acquiring a certain... Turn your mic on, Rudy.
Oh, no.
I would like to get this on...
Oh, no, what's happening?
The Houston Rockets are acquiring a certain Porter Jr.
Oh, I know
your
what this
is. Your face dropped, though!
Oh, my
The
goodness.
Rockets are acquiring Cleveland's Kevin Porter Jr. For a future projected second round pick.
Oh, goodness.
I wish you would have put the camera on your face for the video
forgot.
Just then.
I forgot. Yeah,
because for a moment, your soul was crushed.
Because, like, when you said news, the first thing that went to my mind was Michael Porter. You said Woj, and I knew it was
Porter
Michael Porter Jr. But see, you didn't even have to say Porter Jr.
You
my
knew.
Mind. You said news and
way.
Woj, and I was like, Michael Porter Jr., oh, God, what's happened? And then you said Houston, and I was like, oh, no, God, what happened? And then when you said Porter Jr., all of a sudden I remembered, Kevin Porter Jr.
It all came together for a moment. It all came together. Oh,
that was heartbreaking.
Whoa. Hey, can I get the push notification? Can I get the, can I just got another push notification? Can I get breaking news again?
Okay. I don't think my heart can take this.
Shams just tweeted Michael Porter Jr. retired. That's crazy. What a coincidence.
Retire on top, baby. I'm good with that.
Is he, hold on, what?
Retire on top.
On top of what? A chiropractor table?
Retire with good memories in my head. His career didn't end due to a back injury. It ended due to COVID. I'll take that one. Michael Porter Jr. doesn't have COVID anymore, by the way, people.
I'm just upset that this segment didn't end on what he ended on top of, what, a chiropractor table. That's where the segment should have ended. I didn't even try to, but I'm just mad at myself. That's not where the segment ended.
It ended with Michael Porter Jr. on top.
I am just sort of genuinely worried for you to, like, the day that you realize it's sort of I'm gonna pull up from that one, actually. We're about to go careening into it. We're good. Everything's fine. Except for Michael Porter Jr.'s back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
It's always better with slime.
It's just always better with slime.
If there's one thing I've said over and over again, if there's one thing I'm known for
what
on this show.
What's the thing?
It's always better with slime.
It's never not better with slime.
With Joshua Briscoe.
The slimier the better. That's what I always say.
That's what Rudy always says.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's just a challenging liner.
That's just a good liner.
I mean, it's a pretty good liner. Oh, hey, Julian Edelman over the middle of the field. Yeah, ooh, great.
It's
thanks,
just a
Senator
real good liner.
It's a very good liner.
It's a nice, good old slimy liner.
Woj is tweeting about how Porter Jr. was traded. He's had some difficulties in his time with the Cavs. I mean the Nuggets. Kevin Porter Jr. was traded.
I'd be fine if the Nuggets went and got Kevin Porter Jr. And then also Otto Porter Jr. Let's just get all the Porter Jr.'s. I'll take all the Porters.
Is Otto Jr.'s. Porter still in the league? There's no... Do you think he is?
I thought he flamed out. I mean, he definitely flamed out a little bit, but I don't think out of the league. Like, he was like a fourth overall pick, I think. And he certainly isn't
that. That was a minute ago.
He's got to be in the league still.
Oh, he's been with the Bulls the last few years.
That feels right.
Started 9 games last year. Yeah, I'm the bleep hole here.
I mean, I didn't say you weren't wrong.
Last 3 years.
He's absolute, because I think he was a fourth overall pick.
I think that's right.
He was high. He was a high pick.
Third
by the Wizards?
Yes.
Yeah, and he is absolutely not. Because
he was a Georgetown guy. He was relatively local.
Grew up in Missouri.
That draft. You want to hear about that draft real quick?
He was another one of the guys who, because there was like a 2 or 3 year stretch where like Mizzou missed out on Jason Tatum, Bradley Beal, and Michael Porter Jr. They got Michael Porter Jr. Otto Porter Jr. All Missouri kids who went elsewhere.
I'm going to read this list until I get to it. There are a couple of guys in here who are like good players and everything, but I'm going to read this list until I get to a certain point. This is picks 1 through, I don't know, an arbitrary number in the first round of the 2013 NBA draft. Weird place that we've arrived, but we're here.
That's what we do.
Anthony Bennett.
Great.
Victor Oladipo.
Stud.
Otto Porter.
Oh, this is this draft.
Cody Zeller. Alex Len. Nerlens Noel. Ben McLemore. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yep.
Trey Burke. CJ McCollum. Michael Carter-Williams. Steven Adams. Kelly Olynyk. Shabazz Muhammad. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That draft is wild, man. I remember that draft being the draft where there was just like no definitive, like basically there were like those top 7 guys, like all 7 of them like were basically like the number 1 overall pick in somebody's mock draft at some point.
Also, it's crazy to think about this, but Victor Oladipo is on his 4th team now.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando for a few years, 1 year with Oklahoma City. Then the Pacers for 3 and change. Now he's in Houston. How did we get here?
Nerlens Noel and Ben McLemore. Ben McLemore, I think, is also with Houston.
I'm curious if CJ McCollum is still with Portland.
Yeah.
He might be the only dude from that list that's on the team that drafted him still.
I mean, Giannis.
Until Giannis.
Yeah. So 1 through 14, I would bet he is. Because Nerlens not with the 76ers anymore, obviously. He's in Dallas, maybe?
That feels right.
I feel like he's in one of the Texas or Oklahoma.
How did we
teams.
Get to this point in the show? What a weird...
That's what we do sometimes.
I couldn't remember where Michael Carter Williams was.
Drafted by Philadelphia?
He's drafted by Philly, but he's bounced all over the place.
Oh, yeah, he's played for, like,
Orlando. He's in Orlando the last few years, actually. Okay, yeah. Our resident Magic fan, Tucker D. Franklin, will join us beginning in next segment at the top of the hour. Boy, what a crazy draft. We end up in just drafts so often. I don't know why. That ends up just being a checkpoint for us.
Because drafts are fun, man.
They're way less fun after the fact, though.
No, they're just, always fun.
They're always fun, but after the fact, you realize that you've got, like, a handful of basically role players and then Giannis going at 15 and no one knows anything. It's just, well, and there's Gronk converting a 3rd and 10. If this pass, it's Eric Berry and Dan Sorensen. Oh boy.
That final drive the Patriots had, just all the third down conversions.
The AFC Championship game is on NFL Network if you're just joining us. And that was 3rd and 10 right there. Eric Berry could not break up that pass.
3 straight, like 3rd and 10.
Yeah. If they just get the stop right there, they kick a field goal, and then Patrick Mahomes gets the ball back and almost certainly wins it.
Yeah, no, he wins it. There's no. And if the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, they steamroll the Rams. There's just no doubt in my mind about it.
I just watched Rex Burkhead run for 12 yards. The good thing is that this game is almost over, which means that I don't have to watch it for the next hour of the show. I thought I was over this. I thought this game couldn't hurt me anymore. I was wrong. Power rankings and more with Tucker next.